It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So good to have you join us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse, and so please, even the 8th verse there, so please that you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I'd like to call us. Our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work, and so just glad to hear from you and hope that you're well and ready and prepared for the study today. Always a joy to open God's precious Word and enjoy it. And so Matthew chapter 3, I think we'll even back up a little bit more to the seventh verse, because we're kind of starting into that a little bit with the concern of Abraham up here. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighted upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. It's the end of the third chapter, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this study. It's such a wonderful time, Father, to open your precious Word and to enjoy it. Just guide and lead us now, Father, please. And just we thank and praise you so much, Father, for the blessings that you pour down upon us. It is such a joy, Father. Thank you. Just continue, Father, to use us. And I pray that we be usable, that we be servants, we be humble, we have your patience, we have what we need, Father, to serve you and to praise you each and every day. And so please guide and lead us now through the study. Those, Father, that have not come to you yet, we just pray today that they would come, that would take place today, and they would come and surrender their heart and their life to you and serve you, Father. Please, today needs to be the day of salvation for all that are lost. So we call, Father, that your Spirit can come and penetrate their heart and that they'll listen, Father. It's so important that they'll listen. So please just guide and lead us now, dear Father, each day. Speak to our hearts now, grow us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan. And there was a group that came to him, and that group was some Pharisees and some Sadducees, and we've talked about who they are in times past. They were very religious folks, had great differences in their doctrine, but many times when someone is coming against you, even your enemies will set their differences aside to come with unity to oppose the truth. We've seen it happen many times. It happened many times to the Lord Jesus. It happened many times to Paul and to Peter and to many as they continued to proclaim the truth and speak the word of God. And it was no different here. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, one believed in the resurrection, the other believed there was no resurrection, there wasn't even any life after death. So there's a tremendous difference between the two, and yet they've come together and to see what's going on, so to speak, here as John was baptizing. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, and look at the response that John has to these folks, "Ye generation of vipers, ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Now, that's a very good statement there. The fruit demanded that John was demanding here, the fruit that he was questioning, the fruit that he was asking for, was the fruit of repentance. And those who would not repent would come to judgment and the fires of hell. And so we need to understand here that John was not being the judge, but you've maybe heard the spoken before that we need to be fruit inspectors. And if there is no fruit, then there's probably no life there to have it. And the only way we can have fruit and have life is to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and come by faith to Him, believing in Him by faith, trusting that He's taken our sins away, and we rejoice, and there is a repentance there. There's a turning there. There's a being sad and so sorry for our sins and turning away from them and walking a different direction. And when you do that, that's seen, that's noticed. And so a person on the outside can see that difference. The lost sees the difference, and the saved should see the difference of someone that has just come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So here come these Pharisees and Sadducees over to his baptism and probably inquired about being baptized. You know, we're religious. We want to follow through with this too. John saw right through it. When someone comes and asks to be baptized, the first question, of course, is, when did you come by faith to Jesus? When did you trust in Jesus as your Savior? And if the response is that, you know, I always have, that's a terrible response, because that's not true. That's a lie, because there is a time in every person's life that the opportunity is there to say yes to the Lord Jesus. And the day that you say yes to Jesus and accept Him as your Savior, your sins forgiven, His precious blood's covered you, it's wonderful. When you come to that time and day, that's a time you'll never forget. Now, I'm not talking about that you'll remember the exact date, but I know that you'll remember exactly where you were. You were in your bedroom, you were in your church, you were wherever you were. You would remember that, because you cannot miss nor forget coming by faith to Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll never forget that. You'll remember it for eternity, because that's the day that you went from dead to alive. That's the day that you make this turnabout. and you begin to walk another direction. You need to speak. You begin to speak different. You begin to act different, because that's what's happened when you've had the new birth. You've born again. Back in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, when he came, Jesus said, "You must be born again." And he too was a very religious man. But he was seeking, he accepted, and we know of that result because he was one that took the body of Jesus to the grave. So please, don't miss the opportunity of salvation. And if someone questions, you've come for baptism or you've come to join a church, and the question is asked you, when were you born again? And you say, "I always have been. Or I've always believed." Please, no. No, you have not always believed. Truly believed. You maybe have believed that God exists. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But it's a personal relationship that makes a difference. The day that you accept that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, that's the difference. And that's a big day, and that's an important day. And so please don't miss that. Here, John the Baptist could sure see that difference. He knew these folks that were coming. He knew what they were made of. He knew that they had not repented or changed. And so that's the reason that he gave them this name, "You generation of vipers. Why have you come? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You're going to go to hell. You're going to burn in hell. Now, who's warned you about that? Who's told you about that? Why have you come? That's the question. And then he says in verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." I want to see the result. And there's nothing wrong, because you see, and we'll get into that down the line here a little bit, but baptism, contrary to some teaching, but according to the Word of God, according to the truth, baptism is something we do after we're saved, showing what has happened in our heart. It is not a part of our salvation. In other words, if you don't get baptized, you're not saved. Now, many places teach that, and that's a lie. That's not what the Word of God tells us. You must come by faith to Jesus. He saves you. And then at some point, sometime immediately, sometimes it's a little later on, when you come and I want to follow in baptism. And that's very important and very necessary. Jesus, here's our example of that. But if someone questions and says, "Are you truly saved?" and you become bristled up and appalled that someone would ask you such a question, well, understand that that's a good question. And the other point that I can make is, why have they not seen that change? If they have not seen a change in you from the day that you said you trusted in Jesus, there's a problem. And that's the reason he says, you bring me fruit, meat for repentance. You show me what's happened in your heart. Then we'll talk. And we need to do the same thing. Someone comes and they make a confession and boy, immediately we got to baptize you. No, we don't. Let's look for that fruit. Let's look for that fruit, because we want to know that what you're testifying about, in other words, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that's what a baptism is all about, is that picture. You better know the one you're testifying over. You better know Jesus as your Savior. That's what that's all about here in verse 7, in verse 8. And that's the reason John approached it in that way, because he saw right through them. He saw right through, and he could see and realize that there's a problem here. And I'm not going to baptize you. That's not even a thought. And the Lord, I believe, gave John the wisdom to make a statement here. He said, and think not to say within yourselves. I think he knew exactly what they were thinking. We have Abraham to our fathers. I say unto you that God's able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You see, there's the problem, because they felt like Abraham is your father, so I have everything as a descendant of Abraham. They have no need of repentance. We will escape the wrath of God simply because we are the seed of Abraham. And that's when John calls them vipers. You see, they came with an attitude. They came with a self-righteous thought. And so it just, and you know, this isn't the only place, because if we go to John chapter 8, verse 44, John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father we will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ye are of your father the devil. You say my father's Abraham, I'm saying your father's the devil. Jesus himself spoke in that manner. And if you go back to 32, we kind of get the full side of it here. And so just let me read from verse 32 back down to 44. This is in John chapter 8. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's exactly right. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You see, they didn't see any need whatsoever. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And now we have, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are the father, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Do you see the difference? You see the difference between being religious and being a Christian, being born again? There is an opportunity, a desperate need for you to turn and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. They felt like, in John chapter 8, they had everything that they needed, and we have the same here. They, without question, John, you think you're fine because you have Abraham as your father. I'm telling you, that's not enough. I don't care what your name is. It's not enough. You can be of the richest folks in the world. You can have the greatest name in royalty. You can have everything. But if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you have nothing. And that's what he's telling them. You're a generation of vipers. You're trusting in something that is not there. And even here, John continues, "For I say unto you that God's able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham." How important do you think you are? And there's stones everywhere. He looked over that pile of stones and he said, God could make them the children of Abraham right there. So don't think that means anything. And it doesn't. And so I pray that you know, righteousness is not passed down by bloodlines. Righteousness is imputed. And let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans chapter 4. Verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." He wasn't depending on who he was or his name. He was depending on God. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." That's how we get it. Righteousness is handed from God when we believe. Think not to say within yourselves, as the Scripture tells us here. And we need to understand back in Romans there, you have no right to say. The thought of that all Israel is okay, that all of the Jews are fine, because we are the seed of Abraham, is a mistake. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you're familiar with Josephus or not, but he's quite an outstanding historian of times past, and he has written this quote. A leading rabbi, he quotes as a leading rabbi as saying, "In the age to come, Abraham will sit beside the gates of hell, and he will not suffer a circumcised Israelite to go down." You see their thought? Do you see their philosophy? That's a quote from Josephus of that time, of that era. "In the age to come, Abraham will sit beside the gates of hell, and he will not suffer a circumcised Israelite to go down." Oh, what a sad statement. Abraham is in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and he is not down there guarding the gate of hell, that every time a Jew or Israelite would come through, he'd snatch him out. "You're not going to go because you're of the circumcised. You're of the family of Abraham." And so you can kind of see the thought process there. And you can also see that they had no need of repentance. They were righteous. That's what the, back here in Matthew, when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they felt that they held on to the righteousness of God and they needed nothing more. And once again, then he makes a statement that God could turn these stones into children of Abraham if he'd choose to. And so then we move on here to the 10th verse, and now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This fruit, that what was demanded here was repentance. And those who would not repent would come to judgment and the fires of hell. And now also the axe is laid upon the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. A tree that is without the Lord Jesus, in other words, that don't know the Lord Jesus, there's no hope. God's axe is always laid at the root of the tree for those warned but unrepentant. And let me read that again. But God's axe is always laid at the root of the tree for those warned, told about the gospel, told about the lake of fire, told they need to repent, but didn't. They're unrepentant. That's what that's talking about here. And that axe has always been laid there. The opportunity of salvation is yours, but when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be hewn down and cast into the lake of fire. It's got nothing to do with works. It has everything to do with a repentant heart and turning to the Lord Jesus, or refusing that and turning the other way. So it's so important that you see the need of salvation. And we come through this many times, my church doesn't teach that. My church, we don't believe in that personal relationship. We believe in a universal salvation, or we believe that if I come, and call upon the Lord Jesus and then baptized, I have to be baptized to complete my salvation. That's works. And there's nothing that you can do to please a righteous God. God has to do all the work. The only thing he does is put it out before us. He shows us our wicked sinfulness. He shows us our heart and our condition. And we have the opportunity to turn to Jesus and trust in him. And when you turn to Jesus and trust in him, then and only then will you be set free. As the scripture says, the truth will set you free. The truth is, you need to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. And then that precious word continues to help you and to guide you each and every day, looking forward to serving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so we're going to start now, and we've got just a little bit of time. And so instead of getting into the baptism here, let's back up, and we're going to reread verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. And I want you to just get the full thought of this. And I want you to come by faith to Jesus and be born again. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, John was baptizing those that had confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and had called upon him, and come back for the next study, because this is going to be good for the talking about baptism. And he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Why are you here? You have not repented. You have not turned. Why are you here? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Bring me something that the result of your changed life. Many people would call John a judge. He wasn't a judge. He was a fruit inspector. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up the children unto Abraham. And he makes his point. Now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. God desires that you come by faith to Jesus and trust in him. Please turn to him today. Please call upon him today, because he will judge you. for your works and be cast into the lake of fire. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?